Dear friends of Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and lived with us. And I wondered, was that a mistake? I mean, to become flesh and to live among us. This Word that John describes as being with God, being God, through whom all things made, becomes flesh. And I think, will we recognize Him? Will we stop and listen? Will we stand and stare? I mean, John says, this Word that became flesh, it lived in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world did not recognize Him. And then he says, and He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. And then later in the same chapter, John the Baptist says, I've come to baptize with water, but there stands among you one whom you do not know. He comes after me, and he is of such stature that I am not worthy to tie the thong of his sandal. He became flesh. And you wonder, was that a mistake, maybe? I mean, that we wouldn't recognize him. There was a story in the Washington Post about an experiment that the paper put together that I think can serve as a parable for a night such as tonight. The people at the Washington Post decided on this experiment. They would ask the finest musician, classical musician, Joshua Bell, a world-renowned violinist, to play the most elegant music, masterpieces tested by centuries, on a most expensive violin ever made, the one Joshua Bell bought for $3.5 million. And they would have him play at the Lafond Metro in Washington, D.C. during rush hour. The experiment was to find out whether people would recognize genius. Whether in a banal situation, at an inconvenient time, beauty would capture, would transcend, would bring people to a halt. And every passerby would have to make a decision. They could either stop and listen, or they could simply pass by, somewhat irritated, or perhaps throw in a buck, or they could decide whether it was good enough for them to either stop or to go on. The people who put the experiment together wondered about what if. They were sure that the people of Washington, D.C. were the sophisticated type, and that many of them would recognize Joshua Bell, and that it might create a crowd, and that would attract more. And then flashes from the cameras. And they began to be worried about crowd control and that there would be a logjam of the pedestrian rush and that tempers would flare and the police would have to come and tear gas and rubber bullets. But they decided to carry on the experiment. Joshua Bell stood near an escalator. Off to one side was a shoeshine stand. On the other, a kiosk selling newspapers, lottery tickets, and skin magazines. It was doing a brisk business. The skin magazines were going well, but especially the lottery tickets, the Powerball, and the Daily Six. They were hoping for a lucky number. And of course, they were in luck, for while they were standing in line, they would hear one of the finest violinists giving a concert, if, of course, they were of the mind to listen. The acoustics were good. In fact, it was a full sound, symphonic. He began with a Bach partita, the Chaconne, which Joshua Bell describes as not only being one of the finest pieces of music, but he says one of the great achievements in the history of the world. He begins to play. For 3 minutes, he's wrapped up in the music. But then he begins to notice that he's not noticed. Finally, someone lingers a little while. Someone else puts in some money. He had put a hat in front of him and put a few dollars in as seed money. During the 43 minutes that Joshua Bell played, 1,097 people passed. Seven lingered for a minute or more. 27 threw in some money, so that at the end of his 43 minutes, he had collected $32.17. Everything was on tape. And when the reporter played back the tape, there was Joshua Bell playing his music and people running past, seemingly running past. Joshua Bell, unseen, unheard, almost otherworldly, as if a ghost. And then the reporter says, and then it occurred to me, it was he who was real. And all the others were ghosts. Now, why was he not heard? I mean, he made a lot of noise, he said. You can see sometimes people on cell phones talking louder as they pass Joshua Bell so that they might get heard over this infernal racket. When they asked the experts as to what happened, the director, the chief director of the National Gallery says, it's art without a frame. It's not in its proper context. He said, if you took a painting from my gallery, perhaps an abstract modern piece, and you hung it in a coffee shop, or if you were in Grand Rapids, at the Breton Washing car wash, along with other paintings, and put $500 on it, and that even though the museums had bought it for $5 million, nobody would buy it. Someone else who had written a book on beauty in art and ordinary life, John Lane, says, there is a growing lack of interest in our modern world for beauty. He said, it's not that we don't have a capacity for beauty. It's just that it is irrelevant for us. And what then, he says, is life for, with all its care, if not to stand and stare? Everyone seems to have missed it, except for one group of people that consistently stood and stared, or at least tried, children. Every child that appears in the video wants to stop, and every child is being yanked along by a parent down the escalator into the underbelly of the city. There's one little boy, a little black boy, Evan, who keeps fighting with his mother because he wants to stand and listen to the music. You know, Billy Collins, the poet, laughingly observed once that every child, every baby is born a poet because of the beating of its mother's heart, which is an iambic meter. But life, he says, chokes off the poet in the child's life. And then the reporter says, and perhaps likewise with music. And I thought, and perhaps likewise with God. Joshua Bell was aghast. Do you know what the most uncomfortable places were in this 43 minutes? After each piece that he played, there was no applause, no bravo. People had not heard. And he wondered how that was. There was only one person who recognized him. A woman by the name of Stacy Furukawa. She was not an expert in classical music, but she had, several weeks before, gone to a free concert at the Library of Congress where Joshua Bell had played. And as she's going into the metro, she sees him and she recognizes his glory. And on the camera, you can see her grinning from ear to ear. And she stands there, front and center, 10 feet away, and she does not move until Joshua Bell has finished playing. And here's what she says when she's interviewed. She says, "It was the most astonishing thing I had ever seen in Washington. Here was Joshua Bell, a world-renowned violinist, playing during rush hour, and no one stops, no one even listens. Some flip him a quarter. A quarter! Can you imagine? I wouldn't flip anybody a quarter," she says. And then she says, "I was thinking, and what kind of a city is this in which I am living that can do something like this?" And then I thought, the Word became flesh. The Word that was God, the Word through whom all things were made, that Word came into the world, and the world did not recognize it, though it was made by him. But there were those who recognized him, and they recognized him as being of the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, in this context, this art framed, we want to say we recognize him. This is the Word that was with God, the Word that was God. This is the Word that became flesh. And we have beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. He was full of grace and truth. And now the question is, when you remove the frame and you move out into the world, will you still recognize him? Will you still know him? This Word that became flesh and promised not ever to forsake us. There's one more thing. Wherever he is recognized, wherever the presence is understood, there is praise. Because the presence, the glory, and praise, they are inseparable. So let us behold the child and praise his name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.